All right, guys, welcome. All Love and Over here. Taylor's in the producer's bay.
Hello.
And today we have a very special guest on the show who I've been seeing on all forms of social media, YouTube, not necessarily Twitter anymore, but TikTok comes up in my For You page all the time, and that is Stephen Bonnell, a.k.a. Destiny. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you because I see you as somebody who truly is looking into the beliefs that you have, and you've seemed like you've gone on maybe not an ideological journey, but a journey of just like finding your principles and finding where you stand on things. And you're certainly not afraid to tell people where you stand on things. Have you always been, you know, that straightforward sort of personality?
An asshole, basically.
Not always.
I think since like high school, I've always been kind of like an argumentative kind of person. It's just like a fun challenge for me, I guess.
Yeah. And you talk about a journey of jumping from sort of different political camps. You were raised conservative and Catholic, you said. What were the different camps that you sort of jumped into, and how do you feel about the sort of tribalism that we are all members of?
I think that my kind of core, like, moral and like ethical positions were basically kind of settled when I was like probably my late teens.
Okay.
But then the way that you actually achieve those in society obviously changes as I get older. When I grew up, I was a huge diehard neocon Republican, like huge ardent supporter of Bush, the war in Iraq, all of that. Then I kind of got away from that and moved in like a Ron Paul direction, very big 2008 Ron Paul forever guy, abolished the Fed before crypto, before it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think over the next like, probably 4 to 8 years, I kind of slowly, especially when I got into streaming and I started to make more money, I slowly kind of tended leftwards as I kind of saw that like having money made my life significantly different in a lot of ways that I didn't really think was fair to past me.
Mm-hmm.
And then having a kid like solidified that like a million times more where it's like, oh, I want my kid to go to the best school. Well, I'll buy a house in the best school district. Oh, you know, the coronavirus happens. People are stuck at home. My kid's school is issuing iPads to every single student while some kids live in places where they have to go to Burger King to get internet.
Right.
And I'm like, damn, like no offense to my son. I love him, but he didn't do anything to deserve anything that he has in life, right? It's all coming from me as parents. So when I see kind of like the inequalities, I guess, of the world, especially now that I have money, I'm like, man, that's kind of messed up. And then it kind of shifts me a little bit to the left.
Yeah. Do you think there's a sect of the right and conservatives who are sort of tapping into that same vein that you just expressed of looking at the world through that structure of class and maybe the elite versus people? And how do you feel about like that group? Is there something that's like, is conservatism antithetical to that sort of belief?
The way that I kind of look at it is like both sides get something really right, both sides get something really wrong.
Mm-hmm.
People on the left really want to take this top-down approach. Like the government has the ability to collect taxes from all of society. They can redistribute the most efficient manner possible because they get all the tax data, they get all the census data, they can see everything, and they can throw money where it needs to go.
Yeah.
And that's like their way of solving problems, right? Especially, you know, 64 onward, Civil Rights Act, you've got the federal government stepping in ways it never has before to kind of like, hey, you know, stop being racist, stop discriminating, et cetera, et cetera. And that's like the left's way of doing it. On the right, it's like, okay, well, I don't know what a bureaucrat in Washington is going to do to help me when my neighbor is starving. Like, we have got churches for this. We've got our local communities. We've got our school boards. Like, we can fix this stuff in our communities. I don't want somebody in Washington taking a dollar from me here and then sending it to Minnesota for somebody that I don't even know.
Yeah.
And I think there's like a lot of truth to both of those sides. But the answer is going to involve like some kind of mixture between like there are things that the government can do effectively that you just can't do on an individual level.
Great.
And there are going to be some things on an individual level that just can't be substituted by the government.
What do you think stops people from bridging that gap? Because I feel like there is a lot of energy among both conservatives and people who are left and even people in the center of this recognition that that is the case, that, that class is a big divider, that there probably is a massive power struggle happening right now between, like, you know, the billionaires and the huge corporations and the people. And we are seemingly all having those conversations in our separate camps. What is stopping the bridging of that gap in sort of this unifying force against that reality?
Like 200 different things.
Yeah.
I mean, it really depends on, it depends on who you're talking to and what you're talking about. Sorry, it's a really broad question.
Yeah,
like
no,
on
know,
one end, it's like sometimes getting the fact of the matter right is important.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have the facts down, only once you have the facts down, can you begin to have an intelligent conversation, in my opinion.
Sure.
Trying to think of examples where we're not going to fight immediately.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine.
But so, yeah, so like, so some people feel very triggered about like vaccine related stuff or vaccine related mandates. I think that there are a lot of incredibly compelling questions that can be answered and asked about, that can be asked about like vaccine related stuff, mm-hmm. right? Do you have like a mandate to tell somebody that their child has to get vaccinated, right? You have to take drugs into your body to be a member of society. That's a really interesting conversation to have on like a philosophical level.
Yeah.
But when one half of the side is saying, well, when you inject us, you know, my mom actually like tries to stick magnets on my dad sometimes to see if he's become magnetic. I'm not even joking. I love her to death, but oh my God.
Wow.
But like when this is on one side, it's like, well, the vaccines are causing, you know, 5-year-olds to have heart attacks and drop dead in the street. And it's just like, okay, well, I can't have that conversation because we're not even like in the same reality at this point, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's also good questions about like, you know, you need to be vaccinated to travel into places to show that you're not going to get sick. Okay, well, why was it never accepted that you could show that, oh, well, look, I had a prior infection, right? Because if I got infected, you know, 2 weeks ago, I'm like triple vaxxed, okay? But if I got infected like 3 weeks ago, I'm not going to get a vaccine mm-hmm. right now. Why would it wouldn't even be good for my scheduling, right? I'd want to probably wait 6 months. So yeah, I think there's a lot of good questions that can be asked about a lot of issues, mm-hmm. but descriptively, we're so off sometimes that it's like, if you believe that this is true, oftentimes I don't even fault your end position, right? Like if you really believe that like Fauci himself personally was like doing inappropriate things with dogs in a Wuhan laboratory and then intentionally leaking virus, then yeah, I understand why you want to destroy the CDC, right? So yeah, a lot of it comes down to the descriptive like base. There's like 50 million things I can talk about.
Yeah,
but that's one part. Yeah,
I see what you're talking about, and I think there's like honestly, there's an element of both sides like not even wanting to actually bridge the gap and not even wanting to find the truth from either side. Mm-hmm. As far as vaccine mandates go, yeah, I think during COVID, I was against vaccine mandates, and still am against vaccine mandates. But I think with everybody, there's a line, you know, like if there was a virus that was going around and it was killing, you know, 1/10 of every of the people that it encountered, mm-hmm. I think we would all start having conversations about vaccine mandates. And I think people aren't willing to get into that conversation about like, where is the actual line for you?
Which, and I like that you say that because sometimes I test people on that and they won't even budge on that. Because when people say like the government doesn't have a right to mandate that we take a vaccine, bullshit.
Right.
If this virus is killing 50% of people, conservatives are probably first in line for it.
Yeah.
Like I said, my mom is a diehard ride or die Trump person, but oh my God, she was in the Air Force. They did all their vaccines, and you better fucking believe we got every single shot when we were kids growing up. Like, no questions asked, flu shots and everything. So yeah, there definitely is a line, you know, was the coronavirus over that line or not? I don't know. It's an interesting question.
Yeah.
But when people come at it from these like ultra
stances.
Yeah, that aren't even like one. This is a piece of advice I give when people are like debating or arguing. And I always say to avoid getting like mired down in a really dumb conversation and then realizing 5 years later you were an idiot. You should never be ethically married to a process. Should always be ethically married to the outcome. So for instance, I think that getting rid of homelessness in the United States is really important. That's a good thing, okay? Sure. Rent control is not a morally good or bad thing. That's just a process. It might work and it might not. But people start to get so hardwired on the processes themselves that those become the things that they want to fight for.
Right.
And then they lose sight of like, well, what are you actually arguing for? And then I try to think of examples on the left and right, so I don't trigger
people. Sure.
Sure. Guns come to mind, right?
Yeah.
I love guns. I love firearms. I've got 3 or 4 of them. I'm in Florida now. I'm probably going to get more. But when people say like, oh, firearms are good for self-defense, I don't think that's true. I think that a lot of the data shows that it's kind of a wash between like a gun and a bat. I don't know if that's like the best argument in the world.
Sure.
But if you get caught up, let's say you get caught up arguing that like guns are good because of self-defense, right? But you're not actually like looking at some end thing. You just like to have guns, and you get stuck like arguing that for a long time. When all the data in the world comes out and shows that you're wrong, it's really hard to be moved off that position.
Yep.
And then you end up like, bouncing around to like other arguments because you're not actually worried about like some end result. Like say like your end thing is actually like, I think we should have firearms because we want to stand against the government in a violent revolution or whatever, which is fine. Believe it or not, I think it's a valid reason to protect firearms.
Yep.
But if you're stuck on all these like middle processes, like, oh, well, they also help self-defense or whatever, and then that's wrong, you get in weird worlds where you're defending stuff that is, you don't need to defend.
Yeah, it's so funny because I find myself in that position. So my boyfriend's from Australia, which is a relatively anti-gun nation, and he comes into the conversation about gun control, not necessarily through the process, but through the outcome, saying, you know, I understand that you might want a gun for self-defense, but what are the odds that gun is used against you? What are the odds that the simple ownership of that gun is hurting you more than the self-defense is helping you?
Mm-hmm.
And I was so just like belligerent against, so much more attached to the process than the actual outcome and the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting place that we find ourselves in. And I'm curious, what were the times in your life that you were ideologically possessed? How did you find your way out of that and start developing your sort of first principles and your moral standings rather than the ideology?
I think I got really lucky when I was like 15, 16. I did it's probably kind of standard. You do the journey from being religious to a-religious. So
mm-hmm.
I went on my little atheist journey.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, I started to read a lot of, I'm sure you guys all here probably have statues of her somewhere, Ayn Rand. not I'm sure here. There's an Ayn Rand statue somewhere
we,
in this building.
We do I know not, there is, okay? But I guess we sort of immortalize her in video. I'm like on the fence as far as Ayn Rand, but I mm-hmm. have been to like a lot of objectivist conferences where they are just sure. like all yeah. hail, and it's interesting.
So
yeah.
I read her short story Anthem, and then I read Atlas Shrugged. And after reading these, I'm like, I'm an objectivist. Like, this is the most correct thing in yeah. the world, obviously.
Yeah.
And in about a year, I started asking questions. I started like, oh, okay, maybe it isn't 100% about, you know, free will and everything is about an individual, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And something that I came out of after that was like, holy shit, okay. I'm an idiot. I'm 17 years old, okay? I can probably read any philosopher and just believe whatever they say because they write well. And then I'm just like, yeah. So it was at that point I was like, okay, well, I need to really take a step back. I need to think, well, what is important to me in my life?
Yeah.
What are the most important things to me in terms of making me happy? And then how do I ensure that like everybody else around me is acting in a way that's in accordance with that and that we can all kind of like resonate with each other to like build that society up? So it becomes this kind of weird like Rawlsian curtain of society, justice, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically from there, kind of like all of my political positions stemmed. But when I was 17, 18, I spent a lot of time thinking about that so that I wouldn't just like read an author and then believe everything they said.
Shit, yeah.
And then, yeah, from there, I kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I'm still in that process. Shout out to my boyfriend for like always calling me out whenever I say something that is mm-hmm. That is dumb. But yeah, I went from like hardcore left through my young adult life, graduated high school, started working for them. And we talked earlier before we started recording that like the surest way to like leave a camp is to start working for them and just yeah. fully entrench yourself in it. And of course, the process happened as it happened. And I left that. And then I was like, you know what? I'm a right winger and I disagree with everything they say. Mm-hmm. And then you go, oh, I'm doing the same exact thing I did before and now on the other side. So now I just sort of sit in this camp of like, okay, I want to believe that there are some sort of objective truth, but I also know that like truly accepting yourself as a person and truly developing and growing is accepting that you don't know anything and that you're mm-hmm. constantly going to be learning. I'm curious what your views are on like objective truth versus this subjective, your truth, his truth, my truth type of thing. That's happening right now.
Man, that's a really deep epistemic
I know, it's a
question.
Big question.
I mean,
it's
I don't know how much. Are we talking about like I think, therefore I am? Like, is your subjective frame of reference? Yeah. Or you just mean like in general how everybody seems to have kind of their own view of society?
Exactly.
Basically.
Okay. That, okay. The second.
The more political version, not
yes,
the
more
hardcore.
Political, yeah. Not the hardcore.
I think that it is incredibly important to recognize that it is important to have a broad understanding of society,
mm-hmm.
in that we can like look at the data and analyze what's going on. But it's also really important to have a good understanding of the individual because everybody truly does have their own story, their own way of feeling about things. And humans are not data machines. If anything, I would say that most of like the natural faculty that we're kind of like endowed with, that we understand a priori, like we have these ways of like viewing the world and seeing patterns, is really detrimental to how we exist in society today,
mm-hmm.
right? Like the example I give is that like if you're, you know, 7,000 years ago, if you're in some jungle and you know, a bush rattles and two of your friends run and you go and investigate because you have an inquisitive mind, you're probably gonna get eaten by a lion, okay,
mm-hmm.
right? We're very good at recognizing patterns quickly, you know, staying safe from danger. But these same types of pattern recognitions get us into a lot of trouble such that, you know, if you have two bad experiences with an Asian person, you might just hate Asian people.
Yeah.
If you have two bad experiences with a police officer as a black person, you might say all cops are bad. You know, and it's really important to be cognizant of those things. So to bring it back, I guess, like everybody
sure.
has their own subjective frame of reference that they view the world. It might not always be like real in a sense, but it's real to them, and that's actually the only thing that matters,
mm-hmm.
you know? If you've got 100 people in the room and they all think you're an asshole and you're not, I mean, the fact of the matter isn't even really relevant there if everybody believes it. So,
yeah.
I think it's important to, it's always important that we have a good grounding of reality, but you have to be able to meet people at where they are to make them understand why things are the way they are. I think that a lot of people trouble with that. Yeah.
I think a great example of that is the whole gender debate, which we'll get into a little later, is that like, okay, you can talk to somebody who's trans and tell them up and down all day long that you're actually a boy, even though you identify as a girl. But mm-hmm. if that's somebody's experience and that's what they've subscribed themselves to, that is their experience. I mean, mm-hmm. you can give them facts and show them all these different things, but it can be invalidating. And I think that hurts having the actual discussion about what we know objectively, about what we've studied and researched. But we'll get to that. Thank you guys so much for watching that clip. If you thought maybe that was too short, don't worry. There's going to be more videos with me and Destiny talking to each other about the trending topics of today. Let me know if you liked having him on as a guest. He's an interesting one. Maybe not one you would expect to be on the show, but he's here nonetheless. Drop a comment down below. What was your political journey that you went through? Did you jump from different camps and different tribes when it comes to your politics or really anything in life? Drop that down below. I would love to know. And I should mention that today is Giving Tuesday. If you like the work that I'm doing here at PragerU or any of the content that we create at this lovely organization, you can go to donate.prageru.com and give to us on Giving Tuesday. Why is it called Giving Tuesday? Well, for today, if you give a gift to PragerU, which is tax deductible, it will be matched times two. If you give 10, it's 20. If you give 50, it's 100, so on and so forth. And one person who donates to us on Giving Tuesday is going to be chosen to come out here to Los Angeles to watch a live taping of a PragerU video and to hang out with all the personalities we have running around these halls. So if you'd like to support the work we're doing here and make sure that we're making content for you guys, please go to donate.prageru.com and give to us on Giving Tuesday. Guys, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we post a video for you guys, which is every day. Go to the Discord in the description down below if you'd like to join us in conversations we have outside of the show. And more importantly, have a fantastic evening. Bye.